Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 12. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me toward you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in few words, by which when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy scriptures, unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, that to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we do give thanks to you for the blessing of your word and for this wonderful revealing of Christ and of the church of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the gospel of our Lord Jesus, which is a gospel unto salvation to the Jew and to the Gentile alike, and that together we become known as the Church of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, for your blessing to us. Encourage us all in our walk of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in Christ. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we look at this passage this morning, we want to come to this area of the scriptures and look at Ephesians chapter 3 under the theme of a dispensation of grace. Sometimes the word dispensation is a little bit misunderstood, but as we look at this passage and consider what Paul is saying about the church, we find the word dispensation simply means a period of time or an administration wherein the grace of God is at work among God's people. And so Paul here talks about a very important truth that was essential to be communicated to the first century people, and that is that Jew or Gentile alike could come unto salvation by the very name of Jesus Christ. They could come to faith. They could know that they were alike called the Church of Jesus Christ. They would be called Christians, whether they were of the nationality of the Jew or the nations, which were typically referred to as Gentile nations. So Jew or Gentile alike become Christians in Christ, become one in Christ. And this mystery, as Paul says, using that term, something that was formerly hidden but now revealed, it was given unto the apostle to communicate to the Gentiles. You may remember on Paul's conversion as he was on the road to Damascus, and after he had come to faith in our Lord, we find that God commissioned him to go unto the Gentiles and to preach unto them the gospel. Now, remembering that Paul was a devout Jew himself and a Pharisee, so he was well educated in the Old Testament as well as in the traditions of the Jewish people. This was to break from tradition, and it was to break from his teaching as being a Pharisee. In other words, it was a complete transformation of what he was doing. Before he was a persecutor of the followers of the way, then known as that, and afterward be known as Christians, as we find at Antioch. They first were called the Christians who were followers of Christ. We find that Paul became an ardent defender of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he began to preach Christ everywhere he went throughout the old world, throughout that whole region of the Mediterranean Sea, and around the regions of which he was communicating the gospel to many of those who had come to faith in Christ. And so we find that this mystery of the church, hidden from ages past, is now revealed. Now you may be wondering, perhaps, was the church also in the Old Testament? Well, there was perhaps a type of it in the Old Testament, as the Old Testament saints were often called the congregation, in the sense of an assemblage, and we might refer to them as the church in the Old Testament. But they're not exactly the same as what we are talking about during this period of time. Since Christ came and died upon the cross, we realize that through his death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ began to be preached to the whole world. And so we find that the disciples were given the commissioning to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. And so the great commissioning of the apostles began this period of time, from the period of Acts chapter 2, as we typically point to, and say that the church found its birth and began to be this period of time wherein the gospel would be preached to all people, alike Jew or Gentile. And any could come unto that saving knowledge of Christ and know that they were a part of the church of Christ during the dispensation of the age of grace. And so we find here that Paul begins to unfold this to the church at Ephesus. Now remember that though you are familiar with this great unfolding of the drama of redemption, as Alexander Scroggie tells about it in his book, yet we realize the first century church was beginning to learn all these things themselves as the scriptures was beginning to be given to them. Paul was a primary agent, of course, as God the Holy Spirit worked through him to give this message to the people in his own day. And so let's look at chapter 3 here in verses 1 and 2. First of all, Paul was given the dispensation of the grace of God. The dispensation of the grace of God. Look at verse 1 and 2. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me toward you. Now he calls it here the dispensation of the grace of God. And so that kind of sets it within the tone and environment of what we are talking about. He's talking about a period of time called the grace, or the administration of the grace of God, during what we know to be called the church age. Now remember, in the Old Testament, it was the period or dispensation, you might say, or administration of the law of God. As the law was given to Moses on the top of Mount Sinai and was delivered to the people, God set his people under a Old Testament period of time of law wherein they were to keep the laws and of the Word of God, and they were to be faithful to them. Now even Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness' sake. So it is not that the grace of God was unknown, but we find that the administration of the law was set in order in the Old Testament that we ourselves might know of the coming of Christ as it was foreshadowed through those things in the Old Testament. Well, here we find that Paul is given this administration of the grace of God to preach Christ, to tell people that they could be saved by grace and through faith, to give them the hope of eternal life, not by the law of God, as the law in the Old Testament was given, but by grace, by the favor of God. And who should this favor come by but by Jesus Christ himself? And so we find that Christ, as he came into the world, the Son of God, the incarnate of God, the Father, he came into the world and was born of a virgin. And that his coming into the world was to show us that God came down to man. In fact, what is his name? One of his names that he is known by is Emmanuel, God with us. So we find that Christ is the Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is the Son of God. He came into the world to be that promised one of God that would come and that would save his people from their sins. And so herein Paul begins to preach concerning Christ, concerning his coming, concerning his death, concerning his burial, concerning his resurrection, concerning that ministry which he came to deliver, wherein that the sins of the world would be dealt with by the atonement of Christ. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Paul was specifically sent to the Gentiles. He was not sent to the Jews, though he preached to them. But he was sent specifically unto the Gentiles. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me toward you. And so he begins to expound upon this ministry of the grace of God. And so secondly, it is a mystery revealed, formally hidden from ages past. And we see that in verses 3 through 5. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in few words. Now remember, Paul has began already his letter unto the church at Ephesus. He has told them about their relationship, Jew and Gentile, and how that they now are one in Christ, that the middle wall of partition is broken down, and that they together are one body in Christ. And so he touched upon those very truths that he now more fully begins to reveal to them, that he himself had received the mystery of this revelation. Now, we call it a mystery not because it can't be known, but because it was formally hidden and had to be revealed. Now, the Old Testament, when you read through the Old Testament, you'll find many prophecies in the Old Testament, but they aren't always fully explained. They're just simply stated. You might take the prophecy which is given by Isaiah in Isaiah 53, that he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of his peace was upon us, by his stripes we are healed. See, we read these wonderful truths about the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, but the word for Christ isn't mentioned. And so the revealing of those things would come later through the revelation of God to the New Testament, basically, as the apostles and prophets in the New Testament would become much more thoroughly knowledgeable of what the Old Testament was prophesying. To take for an example one of these very instances, we perhaps could recall Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and how that Philip was an evangelist and apostle, And so in the sense of going out and being evangelistic to tell others about Christ, what does he do? He encounters this Ethiopian eunuch. He is sitting in his chariot. He is reading a manuscript, and it happens to be the manuscript of Isaiah. Isaiah 53, the very passage we just spoke about. And so what does Philip do? He receives this question from the eunuch, basically asking him to explain what he was reading, because he didn't understand it. And so Philip begins to explain to him, well, this is concerning Christ, that he should come, that all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to our own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so he begins to explain that this is Christ, and that he can be saved, that this eunuch can be saved, this Ethiopian eunuch. And so he was marvelously saved and became baptized right then and there, as he wanted to be baptized, and so Philip baptized him. And so the revelation in the Old Testament became revealed in the New very quickly through this evangelist Philip, and God used that. Well, here is Paul. He is also an evangelist. He is an apostle. He is an apostle out of due time, as he calls himself, and he also is being used by God to more fully reveal the mystery or the revelation of Jesus Christ in the administration of grace, the dispensation of grace. And so it is very good that we can see some of these examples of how God does this. And so here is Paul doing that. Verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before, in few words. Now this revelation came to the Apostle Paul by the Holy Spirit. We believe that the apostles were endowed with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God, as we are told, is that Spirit whereby God revealed truth or wisdom formerly not known or unrevealed and made known by the apostles. And so we have such writings as the book of Ephesians and Colossians and Corinthians and various letters here that the apostle Paul has been had given, and we find that they are inspired of God. They are the revelation of God. And so here he talks about this revelation, how the Spirit of God gave him this truth. Now remember, understanding that Paul was formerly a Jew, this would not have been something he would have just conjured up all of his own. He would not have done that. It would take the Spirit of God to give him this truth. And so this is what he is saying here. Verse 4, by which when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. So he says that. He says, this was not made known. That is, it was not fully revealed. There may have been hints of it. There may have been a type of it. The prophecies of Christ were in the Old Testament, but it was not really known as it is known now. Christ had not yet come in the Old Testament. Christ was promised. He was the promised one, but he had not yet come. And until Christ had come, these things could not be known. He says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets. Now, specifically here, he's probably talking more about the New Testament apostles and prophets. Even though we know that the Old Testament prophets, and as they were called in the Old Testament, did give prophecies, they did not understand the prophecies as to their full extent. But here in the New Testament, we find that these prophecies became, or revelation, as we might say, became fully known, became revealed. And that's what he is saying. He says, by the apostles and by the prophets. There were both in the New Testament, of course, apostles. We know of those that are named and were disciples of Christ, with the exception of Judas, of course. And we know of various prophets in the New Testament. And we find that these became used of God to reveal the administration of the grace of God during this period of time. And note that it is by the Spirit. The word Spirit here is capitalized because it does refer to the Holy Spirit. And so the Spirit of God was involved in revealing these things. Thirdly, as we read on here, he says the Gentiles are now fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of the same promise. Now this carries the extent of his message a little bit further. And we're going to be talking about that in this last segment. In verse 6 through 12, he says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So now we have the sense that the Gentiles, he is saying basically that they were outside of the promises of God in the Old Testament. The Gentiles were outside of the promises of God. In the Old Testament, we find the nation of Israel is center stage, if we might say, that Abraham was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and that God, through the posterity of Abraham, produced Isaac and Jacob and the descendants. And we find, of course, through Jacob came the 12 tribes. And obviously, as the nation developed, we find that these 12 tribes comprised the whole of the nation of Israel. And so the promises of the Old Testament belong to the nation of Israel. They didn't belong to the other nations around them. Yet here we find that Paul says something to these Gentiles that they would not be fully aware of. And that is that now they are included in the promises of God. That these Gentile nations, Gentile people, even though they were not of the Jewish nationality, they are part or fellow heirs, as it says, of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Very precise language. Precise because he means to communicate something very succinctly, very definitely. And that is that these Gentiles were now fellow heirs. That is, they were heirs of the promise. They would be recipients of the promises of God. And that it was in Christ and that it was by the gospel of Christ. And so he doesn't leave any ambiguity about where their promises come from. They come through Christ. They come to them as the gospel of God was given unto them, the gospel of Christ, and as they received the gospel of Christ, they came into the family of God. They came by the dispensation of grace. In verse 2, they came by that dispensation of grace that God gave unto Paul, and that he was telling them, you now are also benefiting of the promises of God. In verse 7, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Now, that's kind of a very technical way of saying God saved me. His Spirit worked in my life. And as his Spirit revealed unto me these things, now I'm telling you, because God's work is an effectual work. It's an effectual work. It's kind of like saying it's not only working, but it is doing exactly what God intends for it to do. And our salvation works like that too. God's salvation in us is effectual. It's not only convincing us of the truth of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, but it is confirming that we ourselves are saved, not by our own selves, but by the grace of God, and that salvation is working in us, and it is working just as God intended for it to work, by grace and through faith. God's work is an effectual work. There is no error in it at all. It is completely effectual in what it is supposed to do. And so Paul says, I was made a minister according to the gift of God, the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, by the effectual working of his spirit. And so his spirit was, God's spirit was working in the apostle. Verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now here Paul is putting himself in kind of proper perspective. You know, it might sound like he's kind of building himself up as being a little bit better than others or a little bit higher on the scale than most. Then he says, no. He says, I'm not. I'm not any better than anyone else. In fact, I look at myself as the least of all saints, not on the highest scale of them, but the least of all saints. And this grace which is given unto me is to preach, among you Gentiles, to preach among you the unsearchable riches of Christ. So he's not even bragging on himself. He's saying, I'm the least, but yet God has given me this great responsibility. And because his effectual power is working in me by his spirit, I am going to continue to tell you of the unsearchable riches of Christ. You see, God's grace is that good, that it encourages us and builds us up in our faith, and that it even empowers us to do the very thing that we don't think we have any ability to do at all, and that is to tell others about Jesus and to live for the Lord. So Paul was really empowered to do this by the Spirit of God. Verse 9, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages hath been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now in verse 9, he even goes on to say, well, this truth is so marvelous and is so wonderfully revealed, that it was hidden from all ages past, as far back as you want to go. In other words, the church, the dispensation of the grace of God, the administration of the grace of God, the church of Jesus Christ was known to God from eternity past. It was known back there. God had it in his mind to do the very thing that he is accomplishing now, Paul says. He had it in his mind to do it, and he wants you to know that this fellowship of the mystery, which was hidden from ages past, is that which is in Christ Jesus. It is in Christ. The Word of God always seems to tie up all the loose strings for us. If we study the Word of God enough, we will see that every loose string that we think is somehow untied, that we haven't quite followed it back to where it began, if we read the Scriptures thoroughly and seek the wisdom of God in it, we will see that every one of them are connected. None of them are missing. And God didn't have a second thought in anything that he was doing concerning his people in the Old Testament or the people in the New Testament in the coming of Christ. There's not one thing missing in any of it. Or even in those things to come concerning the end of the age and the coming of the Lord Jesus. There are no loose strings. They are all connected. And God has placed all these things in his word, and they are all through the Lord Jesus Christ. They come through him. He is the revelation of them. In fact, when you begin to read the book of Revelation, the word apocalypse means to reveal something, and it is the revelation of Jesus Christ that is being revealed in the book of Revelation. And so we find that all these things, both past, present, and future, are revealed in Christ. Verse 10, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Here is something else that's kind of a little bit startling perhaps to us. Even the principalities and powers in heavenly places, we might say the angels, God's created angels, they didn't even know. They didn't know. But it says, but to the intent that now unto the very angels in heaven, the powers in heaven, in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. God's wisdom is being revealed more fully to the angels in heaven because of this dispensation of the grace of God, this administration of the grace of God during the church age, that God might fully reveal and manifest himself in his people. God is revealing things in heaven as well, even to his angels. In verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he hath purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice everything comes back to Christ. It doesn't follow back around and come to the apostle or something. No, he always credits the Lord Jesus Christ in all that he is saying. And we should too as well. We should always be careful to do that. Whenever we're seeking to minister for the Lord, we should credit things unto Christ. How are we able to do the things that we do, or to be used as we might be used, or to know what God has revealed to us through his word? It is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Paul says very clearly that all these things in this dispensation of the age of grace is to come about because of Christ, the purposing of God in Christ, even that the Gentiles are to be fellow heirs and partakers of his promises in Christ by the gospel. And then the last verse here, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him. Now, this one here kind of reminds us that the intercessory prayer of the believer, our boldness and access unto God the Father, is also made possible through Christ for the Gentile as well as for the Jew, as long as they are in Christ. Christ is our true high priest. Christ is our true intercessor. Christ is the one mediator between God and man. Christ is our advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We owe everything unto our Lord Jesus Christ as believers, either Jew or Gentile alike. When we come to faith in Christ, we have been brought into the administration of the grace of God, the household of the grace of God, because of Jesus Christ. It is a dispensation of grace. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for your word this morning and ask that you will bless and encourage us with it and show us the manifold grace of God in all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.